Hey folks, as you can probably tell by the title, this is not our episode on Silence in the Library and Forest of the Dead. As it turns out, we had a lot to talk about, and it looks like it's going to be the longest episode of the show yet. However, Tuesdays are Who's Days, so you're still getting this little mini-sode for today, where I showed Cassie the Curse of Fatal Death. Everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? And I'm not going to do the whole intro this time, just because this is a little quickie episode to come out in between some stuff that I thought might just be fun for us to watch.
A quickie?
Yeah.
Hooray!
Take your
shoes off, everyone. Take your pants off. We're hanging out this episode.
We're just chilling out. We're just vibing. Yeah, we're having a good time.
We're just hanging. We're being bros together.
Yes, I had thought about doing this as an April Fool's episode, but I really wanted to show it to you, so we're skipping ahead a little bit. We'll do something else for April Fool's Day next year. Maybe we won't do anything. We'll see.
Or maybe I will do something.
Yeah, we'll figure that out when we get there, for sure.
Mm.
So this is a comedy special for, I showed you before, the time crash with where David Tennant met the Fifth Doctor for a minute. That was for charity. This is also for charity. This is for a charity called Comic Relief. I believe this became Red Nose Day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the YouTube channel was.
Yeah, so I believe that is the case. A couple funny little things about this. One reason I really wanted to show it to you is because I know that you're a fan of Rowan Atkinson.
You're a fan of
that Mr. Bean. So he was cast to play the Doctor in this special. It's also written by future showrunner Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
It's a future for us in terms of the podcast. But he was the one who wrote Blink and Are You My Mummy? And the French Robots. Those are his episodes. He eventually takes over the show from Wesley Davies for Matt Smith's run and for Peter Capaldi's run.
Evil man.
But before he did any of those, he wrote The Curse of Fatal Death.
Amazing.
It's a 20-minute comedy special for this. I don't know how much there is to spoil for you, because again, this came out before even the 2005 revival. It came out in 1999.
Okay, so this was done surely as a let's throw these Whovians a little bone.
Especially because, you know, Steven,
we've got an actor who is wildly popular.
Yeah, it's very fun. I don't want to just keep saying it's fun, but it just is.
Yeah, because the only words I've heard you say is it's fun. It's a cute little fun.
Funny thing.
Yeah. It's got your favorite guy. It's fun.
It's fun, Cassie. It's going to be fun. I said it will be.
I don't think I'm going to like this.
You don't like fun.
No, I don't.
What else do I want to put up? So this came out after the Eighth Doctor's TV movie didn't move on,
mm-hmm.
but before the 2005 revival, obviously. So for a period in time, Rowan Atkinson was the Ninth Doctor.
Incredible.
So
how different do you think the world would have been if Rowan Atkinson did indeed stay the Ninth Doctor?
You know, there's a world somewhere where he is cast as the Doctor at some point. I don't know when that timeline was, but I would like to visit it just once to see what it was like.
God, Blackadder Doctor.
And we can do that today as we watch The Curse of Fatal Death.
Hooray!
Be right back. In honor of this being our first mini-sode, today's ad is very small. Back to the minisode. Hey, we're back from the Curse of Fatal Death.
Yeah, we just hanging out as bros, according to this. This only came out 15 years ago. Did you know 1999 was only 15 years ago?
It was uploaded to YouTube 15 years ago. But God, it does feel weird that the 90s were as far away ago as they were. I'm also surprised how high quality that is, considering it came out in 1999.
Simultaneous high quality and also 70s cheese out the wazoo.
Oh, yes. Like, that was...
If we had never started this podcast and you said, hey, Cass, I want to show you one Doctor Who thing. Just one. And you showed me this, I'd say... Okay.
Keep in mind, you would have had to watch this without context of the Daleks, or the Master, or even that they travel in time.
That's fine.
Yeah, that was why I was like, okay, I feel like I can do this now, because you have context for all the things that are in it.
Yeah.
You've got the Daleks, you've got the Master, you know they travel in time.
That's it.
Because those are the only things that really come up, that really get played with.
And I suppose the Master, not the Master, the Doctor's... associate.
Yeah, the companion.
Yes.
It's very silly and it's very funny and I enjoy it so much.
It feels like, and I mean this lovingly, it does feel like the end of a school year English presentation. And by that I mean if you were in like an AP English class, you've already taken your test, but the teacher still wants you to be working towards something. Mm-hmm. So they have you do a presentation or a sketch based off of anything you like. This feels like that exactly, where it is, what are the things that we can put into a blender and have it spit it out and make a 20-minute Doctor Who special? Even down to what, you know, well... I'll hone in on specifically Rowan Atkinson as the Doctor. Him having this, like, beautiful, long, luxurious wig. His little, like, vest, and he's got an ascot that has a little, like, I use a ring when I do my costume, but I know it's not a ring. It shouldn't be. But the coat, the pants, everything about Rowan Atkinson's look as the Doctor is very, what are some things from Doctors 1 through 8 that we can just surmise and piece together and say these are quintessential Doctor looks. The Master, however, is so mastery.
He really is. He's got the mustache and goatee. He's got the full like beard goatee thing.
He look evil.
At the very beginning, he's got the big... Gallifreyan shoulder pads that
the
you
big dumb everything about this is just big and dumb. The insides of their respective TARDISes have these pulsating, like,
I just realized that's your first look color at a classic TARDIS.
Yes.
You've not seen any classic TARDIS except for the Curse of Fatal Death. Oh my god.
Joke that I'm totally in on too.
No, it was just like those were like, they look very similar, but they've clearly been derped up quite a bit. They're pumping
stupid
in the middle is like so violent. So it's just very funny to me that of all the introductions I could give you, it's the stupidest version of this TARDIS.
I'd like to think that it's just a production assistant underneath each one, just going.
I would almost guarantee you it is.
I know, based solely off of how inconsistent it is and how violent.
It is kind of funny to think about how this special predicted a lot of what's actually happened in Doctor Who, though. Because when you meet the Ninth Doctor, who's Rowan Atkinson, while they are very silly, he's still very, like, stoic and serious and, like, doing a lot of, like, I'm cleverer than everybody else, sort of the same thing that Eccleston did. But then when he regenerates into the Tenth Doctor, the Tenth Doctor's traits are being cute, sexy, and lick the mirror handsome. And how many episodes have there been where people just thirst over David Tennant?
Oh, because he's lick the mirror handsome. He's so cute.
I would love it if there was a way that they could redo this sketch with the actual Doctors that played them.
Well, yeah, because then even after he... we're not using any of the actors' names except for Rowan Atkinson. That's partially on me for not writing anything down. We are going into this post-reaction, completely cold.
It was Richard E. Grant who he turns into as the 10th Doctor.
Okay.
Which, fun fact, there was one of the first ways to revive the show after this special, even, was an animated thing. It was called Scream of the Shulka. And that story, the 9th Doctor, was played by Richard E. Grant.
Okay.
So he's played the Doctor twice. Of all the actors to play the Doctor twice, there's only a few of them, and Richard E. Grant is one of them.
Okay.
And then after that, Richard E. Grant goes back to do some wiring and accidentally causes a wiring shortage that kills him and turns him into Jim Broadbent. You had said that the Master was like Barty Crouch, like, yeah, senior in it, but then he turned it into Professor Slughorn instead.
Yeah.
Or the Doctor does anyway.
I do like that iteration of the Doctor is like shy.
Yeah, he can't look at women.
He's just...
I'm not going to say that's exactly what Matt Smith's personality is, but Matt Smith is way more of like a wacky professor type. He's not really like a sexual being in the way that Tennant is.
Even Tennant isn't. Tennant is just like accidentally cute.
There's also the fun thing that of the two doctors that are attracted to the blonde companion are 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And then after that, Jim Broadbent has another electrical accident and regenerates into Hugh Grant.
I would love more Hugh Grant Doctor, please.
But then
I would love a series of other Hughes, because I also had the idea of, what if we had an Australian Doctor? What if we had Hugh Jackman Doctor? This filters into another ongoing conversation that we've had of who could play Billy Flynn in Chicago.
Yes.
It's in the same now, like, circle of, my God, who would I love to see play the Doctor, if only for a moment. Hugh Jackman is now one of them.
After that, the Doctor regenerates, gets shot by the plot beam, and inexplicably regenerates again into his 13th incarnation, who is a blonde woman, played by Joanna Lumley. And as you already know, the 13th Doctor is the first female Doctor who is also a blonde woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those things where it's like, it's really weird how many things got accidentally predicted by this comedy special.
It feels very... I know that we've brought it up in the episode we've recorded previous to this. It's very Simpsons.
Yeah.
Where there are things that have accidentally come true in ways that are a little suspicious.
Well, it's also a little suspicious because the guy that wrote this sketch became the showrunner, so he did have a little control over that.
Well, yes, but still.
Yeah, it's just very funny. And then... I didn't tell you about the Daleks in it. You were very excited when they first showed up.
I was very excited. I was very sad at first because I didn't think that they were going to say anything, because they all just kind of wobbled around. But the second Dalek starts to speak,
that's when you get excited.
Yes.
They come in because
scratch the good part of brain.
They come in because the Master made friends with them after having to climb through the sewers for 312 years.
It's more than that. 900.
Yeah, no. The first time he only is 312. Then he falls in the hole two more times, compounding into 936 years. That in all those times, he never once found a shortcut.
No. No, comedy comes in threes, dude. That's awesome.
Before that, there was the whole segment of how they kept going back in time to bribe the architect before the other.
It's just...
Like, I'm surprised they haven't really done anything like that in a minute. I feel
they
like...
They don't need to. They topped themselves already.
Yeah, you're right. I just meant in the show proper. I thought that... I was like, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. There's also the good bit of the Master gets regenerated, because he's adapted himself with some Dalek technology, meaning he stuck some bumps to his chest.
Nice tits.
Bumps.
It's so silly. It's just so silly.
It is. I'll explain later. They say that, I think, 5 times.
They did say it 5 times. But it's the comedy comes in threes, and then by the 4th time it's not funny, but then by the 5th time it comes back around to being funny.
I will say that one of my favorite jokes that I think got you a little bit too was when the Doctor finally regenerates into the female form, and pulls out the sonic screwdriver, goes, oh, it's got three settings.
Well, and I only laughed because I had a conversation the other day with our good buddy Liam about how there has to be Doctor Who porn. There just has to. And he said, what makes you say that? And then I said, sonic screwdriver? Meaning sonic screwdriver dildo. That's not even clever. That's just what it is. And the fact that I don't think that any doctor, at least none of the ones that I've seen thus far, are like horny enough to really like discovered or used the sonic screwdriver in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just refreshing to see a woman having sense.
Having sense.
Yeah.
I honestly really kind of like Jonathan Pryce's take on the Master. Like, he's clearly doing it as comedy, but there's something about the Master that already is kind of comedic.
It is an ongoing conversation for us where you need to have extremely good actors, which make for very good comedic actors, because everything he was doing, albeit silly, was sincere. He sincerely wants to see the doctor die. He sincerely wants to be responsible for the demise of his arch enemy. But as soon as he does, he is sad. And even Dalek is sad. Dalek can't feel emotion.
But this one can. And they decide to give up evil forever. Or they decide not to kill the doctor because the doctor sacrificed himself to save the Daleks. As if that would ever actually stop a Dalek from doing anything.
My favorite is after that moment, it's just the Daleks rolling around the like set, just piddling about.
I need to check my email.
Don't mind me, just need to see something. Ooh, a coupon.
What do you mean, 10,000 unread messages?
Exterminate the messages. But weed out good coupons.
Dalek Jim, please exterminate the trash.
Dalek sick. Please close the window. There is a draft.
I can do that because I have hands.
Yeah. I also really like the thing of like, on this planet, you communicate through flatulence. Daleks have no noses.
Which is true. Like, now that we've like actually popped open a Dalek and seen inside it, they don't have noses.
Dalek have no nose. So if you're trying to communicate a message to somebody without Dalek knowing, it would have to be through smell. That tracks. It's stupid. There isn't any other way. Dalek can read. Dalek can hear.
Dalek can read.
That was another very good bit in the beginning, is the Master and the Doctor, like, basically FaceTiming each other. Like, if you're going to plan to kill me, at least turn your microphone off.
Yeah.
Even though you turned the camera off, I can still hear you.
You only turned off the visual. Now that we're talking about it, you said the Dalek can read. Do you think Daleks read?
Just like in their spare time? Instruction manuals, yes.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Dalek only reads user agreements, terms and conditions. I don't think Dalek reads fiction. Now, nonfiction, yeah.
Time to sit down for some light reading. Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
Yeah, I think Dalek really loves like anything theoretical, like the Tao Te Ching. No, Dalek does not understand. Manifest Destiny, though. Dalek gets that.
Yeah. Well, this was a silly little chill thing to do. I'm just glad I got to show it to you.
I'm glad I got to watch it.
It was very... It's so very dumb. Stupid. It's so stupid.
It was all the cheese.
But it's so perfectly what it wants to be. Like there's nothing about it that I would really change. The only thing I might want to see is a version of it redone with the actual 9th through 13th Doctors.
No, I would want to see a version redone with other actors who probably won't be the Doctor ever, but it would just be fun to see them. Like, if we were to do this today, if they were to do another special and have, how many Doctors did we see? 5?
In that one, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes, 5.
So if we'll play a quick little game. What 5 actors that are not involved in Doctor Who would you like to see involved?
In this sketch specifically,
in a context like this, yes.
Okay.
We'll throw in a companion and a master.
Okay. Do they have to be alive?
Yeah, if we're doing it in today's
world.
Right now.
Ooh, okay.
And it also cancels out anybody who has been in Doctor Who. Because one of my picks would have been Neil Patrick Harris, but it's a little spoily for me.
I mean, you just know he's in it. You don't know fully what he's...
No, I saw a clip. He's awesome.
Do we want to keep with British actors specifically, or do we want to try and just pick American actors?
We can expand it. Tom Ellis is one of mine, for sure.
Yeah, Tom Ellis could definitely be the lick the mirror handsome guy. I think it would be fun if... There's a part of me that likes the idea of the Jim Broadbent one being, like, Tom Holland.
Interesting.
Oh, actually, you know who should be the lick the mirror handsome one? Tom Hiddleston.
Yes, also, though... I'm just so captivated by his performance as Hot Frankenstein, Cole Sprouse.
Cole Sprouse would be a fun one in there. He might be a fun, like,
Cole Sprouse, I feel like right now is a little too young, mm-hmm. but it's also like that could be very interesting if you do have somebody who is, you know, I think he's not much older than I am, the 30-year-old or 29-year-old Doctor.
I'm trying to think specifically who would play these 5. Specifically when you get to the female version, she's very like comfortable with doing like sexualization as comedy. So I'm trying to think of someone who's really good at that. Cause not everybody is comfortable with that. Understandably. I'm being held up a sign that says Helen Mirren.
I'm blanking out on everybody's name. Hold on.
Every human being's name, all of them. This is what happens when I don't say my name at the top of the episode. You forget what names are.
I don't even know how we refer to each other. Like somebody who's comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Oh, a fun one for like that also awkward professor guy. Or even the Hugh Grant one. He could really do either one of these. Jeff Goldblum.
See, I was going to say Chris Fleming.
He could play any of them.
I would love to see a Chris Fleming wacky professor.
Just because we're talking about it, there are a few like fan casts for American Doctor. Like if Doctor Who was an American.
Bo Burnham.
That'd be pretty good. There's been some fan casts for like if Doctor Who was an American show, who would play the Doctor?
Yeah.
There's a few that I really like. One of them is Dick Van Dyke.
Now,
clearly, this
would
have been, like, years ago.
This would have been, like, 70s yeah. Dick Van Dyke.
Another one was...
This would have been Dick Van Dyke show era.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I'm going to be on that now for the rest of my life.
Another one is Gene Wilder.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Completely unhinged.
I'm trying to think of who other ones I've liked. I did once hear Christopher Walken, like a young Christopher Walken.
Ooh. Ooh. Wait. Oh, no. You're saying so many good names. What an interesting angle. I feel like he could have done it. Robin Williams.
Yeah, he probably could have, almost certainly.
Because I did have the thought of Chris Farley, but I don't know that a Farley type, but I do think like a Robin Williams type, because the fine line is comedy and presence balanced with sincerity, and everybody that has been listed thus far, Tim Curry,
Tim Curry definitely could have done it. I'm trying to think of who else would have been a fun choice.
We'll get in our own time machine and go back in time and make this an American show.
God, who else have I... There's so many people... I've seen so many of these until I go blank on them as soon as I think about them.
It bums me out thinking about how many, like, men I would like to see play the Doctor and not a lot of women.
Vincent Price.
Interesting. I think... No, I just said not a lot of women. I think that Kristen Wiig could do it.
Kristen Wiig probably could do it.
Because she does do sincere, like, pretty good.
Honestly, I mean, talking about comedic actresses specifically, I think Kate McKinnon would be really interesting.
Oh, my God.
Because she's got, like, a very, like, aloof, manic energy, but I mean, she's also very good at, like, capturing those moments.
It would just be Holtzman. It would be Holtzman, but...
Yeah, you're not wrong, yeah.
Yeah. For anybody unaware, Holtzman is the name of her character in the 2016 Ghostbusters movie, the only version that I do actually super-duper love and enjoy.
Kevin Klein?
Shut up! Kenneth Branagh?
Kenneth Branagh would be fucking amazing. my roommate is holding up a sign. This is Carol Burnett.
Yes. We are getting suggestions from the audience.
I don't really know how we got this. I feel like we're going off on a tangent. We could do this as a whole other special of us, like, pitching.
We could, but I also, since I pitched it earlier, did not want to leave it hanging. Because I do think that there is an argument to be made of, we could really sit down and have a fully realized, like, how, like, replacing the Doctors.
Tony Shalhoub is one I really like, too. He's Monk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sam Rockwell is another one I like.
Oh my God, Jerry Seinfeld. Tom Hanks, wait a minute.
Well, so Jerry Seinfeld is too one note. Like, he can only really play himself.
What's the deal with TARDISes?
What's the deal with a sonic screwdriver? I can't screw anything in with it.
Another suggestion. It looks like it says Harry Potter.
It's Mandy Patinkin is what it says.
Mandy Patinkin.
Donald Glover is one.
Ooh. Ooh. Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, Linda Cardellini definitely could. I'm trying to think of who else would be good. There's a few choices.
Who's Buffy? Wait. Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar would be interesting. I don't know that I see her as the Doctor. I could see her as a companion, though.
I could definitely see her as a companion. Because we've been bouncing back and forth of Doctor, but we have not listed any companions. I would love to see Sarah Michelle Gellar as a companion. If for no other reason, then that's just Daphne.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is the companion, and Linda Cardellini is the Doctor. Just Velma and Daphne going on adventures together.
It's perfect.
Well, maybe we could do a full episode where we, like, come up with a whole list.
I think if people want more.
We have another fun little mini-sode in the future. We don't need to keep going on this.
I
will say there's a few... You brought up Tom Hanks, and that's one where it's like, I feel like that actor is too big. Like, they've only ever been too big for that role. They're too much of a filmic actor.
Robin Williams would have been too big for that role.
You know, that's probably a good point, too. I do actually kind of agree with that.
Only person that we have said where I'm like, I could legitimately see them being the Doctor at some point is Tom Ellis.
Yeah, although it's a little late for him. He's been in the show. Although that doesn't change. I think we just saw Peter Capaldi.
I was going to say, we just saw Capaldi, bro.
That's a good point.
Tom Ellis is much older than he was.
Yeah, I genuinely could have seen Dick Van Dyke or Gene Wilder doing it had it been an American show.
I mean, you saying Gene Wilder, that does bring on another little mini-sode that is cooking up in Cassie's kitchen.
Well, maybe we'll find that out and we'll talk about more things the next time we have a mini-sode on Who Is My Doctor?
Who Is My Doctor? Mini edition. Who is indeed? Goodbye!
Well, that was fun, wasn't it, folks? Maybe we'll do some more of these minisodes soon. I know Cassie and I got really into thinking about other actors that could play the Doctor or companions. That probably will be one. If you've got an idea for a minisode, shoot us a message over on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Be sure you subscribe to this podcast, because I still plan on having the episode on Silence in the Library come out later this week. Probably on Thursday, by my estimation. So I'll see you then, because the real Who's Day is inside you all along.